Our new bestie has changed how we track our investments. Why have over 400,000 investors chosen ShareSite? It's simple. This online investment dashboard for your investment portfolio supports over 500,000 stocks, ETFs, and funds, plus integrated with more than 200 platforms, ensures your entire investment portfolio is organized and accessible in one place. Move beyond the limited insights from brokerage statements. ShareSite offers a comprehensive view of your financial performance, including analyzed reports, dividend gains, and the impact of currency fluctuations, all through intuitive graphs and visualizations. But here's the best part. For the investee besties out there, ShareSite is offering a special deal. Save 4 months when you purchase an annual premium plan. It's time to dive deep into performance metrics, streamline tax reporting, and share your portfolio with ease. Join the link in the episode description to sign up to ShareSite now and transform your investment experience. Welcome to Girls That Invest. You're joined today by your host, Sim and Maya, two millennial investors who are here to help you learn about all things investing and personal finance. Hello, Maya.
Kia ora, Sim.
I just want to apologize to you listening at home because I am slightly sick and Maya is slightly sick, but I love like sick voices, you know, like the huskiness that you get.
Yeah, it sounds kind of cute. So everyone can let us know if we sound kind of cute and like mysterious.
Yeah, we kind of sound, you know, like when you wake up and you've got that like sort of husky, zesty, like
Miley Cyrus-esque voice.
Absolutely. So this could either be ASMR or you're going to hate it.
It's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully we're going to like edit out the parts that maybe don't sound so good, but I'm really excited to chat today with you, Maya, because we are talking about the correlation between physical attractiveness and earning potential. It has been extremely well documented over the past few decades. And this podcast idea came to me one day. I was walking down the street and I was like, I wonder how much being hot influences how much money you make. Do you ever like think about that?
I definitely know about, you know, being, what is it?
Attractive.
Oh, pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege.
Yes, yes. I for sure know about pretty privilege, but I've never like properly taken it into consideration when earning money. So this will be a really interesting episode, Sim.
I cannot wait. I mean, this episode, we're going to be exploring how being attractive can impact not just your career trajectory, but also your income level, your overall success in a workplace. We're going to be looking at statistical data. We're going to be looking at scholarly research. And I want to figure out over a lifetime, what is the compounded earnings difference in an attractive person compared to a conventionally less attractive person? Because some papers have found that the difference over a lifetime in your wealth between, let's say, a conventionally attractive person compared to someone else can be almost $230,000, almost $250,000. You could be making more or less depending on how you look. So I don't know. I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah. And I like how also it's being like conventionally attractive as well, which is also kind of like, I think, dependent on societal beauty standards at the time.
Yes. So let's actually just start there. What is considered attractive? Because with these studies, they don't like necessarily specify it. They're not like, oh, like blonde eyes, blue hair, tall and skinny is what they can perceive as attractive. But I was like, that's not a good enough answer. What do you consider as being attractive when you do these studies? And they've indicated a few factors. So facial symmetry, clear skin, a pleasant smile.
Oh, of course.
Of course. And traits that are often culturally associated with health and vitality. So things that basically you could be considered like youthfulness or energy or like an upbeat, you know, voice or personality. These are what are considered attractive. They didn't actually give like race or anything else. But remember, this is based on studies over different decades. So the ideal attractiveness continues to change over time. So first things first, I wanted to chat with you about what the beauty premium is. Have you heard of this before?
I haven't heard of the beauty premium, Sim, but I have heard of pretty privilege. Is it the same?
I think it's the same thing. I think beauty premium was like the old way of describing it. I feel like I've heard of pretty privilege through like TikTok and Instagram. Maybe it's like a more recent,
more our age term.
Yeah, more of our age term. I like how we were put into that. But basically, it is a term that refers to the additional earnings that a more attractive individual can command in the labor market. According to a study by Daniel Hammerhish and Jeff Biddle, it was published in the Journal of Labor Economics. They found that attractive individuals can earn 5 to 10% more than those with average looks, and those with below average looks can earn 5 to 10% less. So you've actually got a difference of 20%, because if you're more attractive, you can make 10% more. If you're less attractive, you can make 10% less. And what they found is that pretty privilege or beauty premium is really specific to certain industries. Like you could work in an industry like retail, hospitality, and sales. And in those industries, the beauty premium can be really, really pronounced. When I heard this, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like I've watched Selling Sunset. All those women on that real estate show are gorgeous.
That's a perfect example. They're just so, so put together, but it just kind of makes sense for real estate. Like real estate people always look put together and really polished. They're always wearing heels, makeup, slick hair.
At least the ones we see on Netflix, like the ones that we see like in front of a camera.
Yeah, and that, to be fair, they're also on TV. So I would be getting a full face as well if I was on TV.
Yeah, I completely agree. And so basically what they found is in customer-facing roles, so things like hospitality, real estate, basically anything like sales and marketing, you are more likely to be judged on your looks because you are customer-facing. And therefore, that's going to have more of an impact versus maybe someone who, you know, works a job that is remote, that doesn't have clients or customer-facing roles. Like if you're doing data entry, you can be beautiful, but I don't know if it's going to give you much of a boost in your career.
Yeah, because it's not people facing.
Yes. Whereas like another study in the American Economic Review found that attractive real estate agents sold 20% more real estate than unattractive agents. And so they were like, look, damn, if you can look good, that's a 20% bump.
That is crazy. I get it in real estate though, and front facing jobs.
What about workplace performance and like normal jobs, Maya? How does that affect if you're hot or not?
Okay, so while attractive individuals may benefit from the initial biases during the hiring process, so when people can see you, research does suggest the beauty premium or pretty privilege persists even after employment. So you get hired, not, you know, on your skill as well, but you are beautiful. And then your pretty privilege can continue throughout your employment. So according to a study by Mobius and Rosenblatt, attractive individuals are often rated higher by the employers for performance, even when there is no significant difference in actual productivity. Isn't that crazy?
Do you feel like you've seen that happen?
Because
we've worked together.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure if it's necessarily about pretty privilege, but, you know, favoritism. Mm-hmm. But that can also come under pretty privilege as well, you know, being mm-hmm. favored because you're more attractive. And so this perceived higher value can lead to faster promotions and salary increases. Attractive individuals may find it easier to build networks and social connections, which can be crucial for career advancements. And so these social advancements can lead to more job opportunities and higher earnings.
So basically in your career, it's not like your boss goes up to you and goes, hey, you have clear skin, here's a promotion.
No.
It's just like they like you more?
I think so. Just your likeness increases. And when I find typically when people favor you a little bit more, you are more likely to be chosen if an opportunity comes up or things like that. And I can also see with your previous statistics around real estate, if the boss sees that their perceived more attractive employees are earning more, then that's more money in their pocket. So of course they're going to put them up more. That's just my thinking.
I agree. It's just really annoying. The part where you talked about even if the productivity isn't different, like if you have two individuals and if they're putting the same amount of work in or they're getting the same results, but one is just like more, I guess, like has like things like symmetry and clear skin and vitality, God forbid your vitality levels are low, that you're just going to, yeah, naturally be like favored more. Or it's interesting. I remember when I used to work in retail, my boss, when I was like, this is like when I was a teenager, my boss was like, hey, Simran, like, you know, the other girls in the team are like selling more. Maybe you should smile more. And like Jessica wears a bit of lip gloss or like a bit of lip liner. Like maybe you could do that too, a bit of mascara. And I remember being like,
that's insane.
That is insane. Like, is this the early 2000s? Is this the 1950s? Like, you are not an old man asking me to put on. Like, surely this old man is not asking me to smile more and wear more makeup to sell things. But I guess he knew the studies.
I don't think he knew the studies. I think they were just, yeah, outdated. And just that term, like, can you just smile more? And it's like, we don't ask men to smile more.
No. And the thing is, the crazy part is he meant no harm. Like he was definitely like a girl dad. He was a feminist. He would have stood up for my rights in any other situation, but not this one.
He just needed to make the sales. And he saw that Jessica had some lip gloss on. She was, you know, more bubbly and all of that kind of stuff. I get definitely being in customer facing jobs, being more bubbly and vibrant and energetic can definitely help, because no one's going to want to buy something from someone who's not interested or who doesn't care. But just that extra layer of having a symmetrical face and having clear skin and putting on maybe some lip gloss and smiling more is just crazy.
It is insane. And so you might be listening to this and thinking, okay, like, I understand how it affects workplace performance and I understand what the beauty premium is, but what about like a job hiring process? What if you get sick of your job and you're trying to switch over? How much does attractiveness impact the earning potential, you know, at the very beginning of this all? And so I was really interested in this because, you know, a job hiring process is one where at the start you put in your CV or you put in your cover letter and people actually don't know what you look like. They're really just judging you based off your credentials. There's a little bit of judgment of who you are based on maybe your name, race, if they can find you on LinkedIn. But most of the time, it's not really what you look like. That's more like in the interview process. And so a study published in the Journal of Applied Psychology showed that attractive applicants are more likely to be called back for an interview than the less attractive counterparts, regardless of their qualification, which kind of makes you wonder, like, if the initial advantage sets the stage for higher earning potentials and you're going to get more job offers, then you're going to be able to leverage for better negotiations, better salaries, because you're just getting more offers. You can like kind of say, well, I have three job offers, let me play them off each other versus someone that's like, I just got a single job. And so I'm going to take it and I'm not really that stressed. It's also interesting. I have a question for you though, Maya. Would you put your photo in a CV that you're sending for a job? Do you do it?
I'm trying to think. I do have a photo on my CV.
Pretty privilege right there. I've never put a photo of me on my CV. I'm like, I'd rather they don't know what I look like.
Yeah, I think it looks less boring.
Because you're pretty?
But also, I wouldn't say, like, this goes down to what conventionally pretty is as well. Yeah, but I've never thought of it like that. Like, I've never thought if they see me and if they think I'm attractive, then I'm more likely to get an interview or things like that. That's completely not why I put it up. I think, first, the Canva template just had a photo. So I put a photo there. That's honestly it. And then I think I did take it off for a while. And then I just thought it looked boring, but also like there's a bit of blue in my CV as well. There's a little bit of yellow. Actually, no, I think it's a little bit green now. like some green accents. So I'm also all about trying to make it not just look black and white. So
have you ever hired people in a role? Have you been part of like the hiring process?
No, although I will be hiring a few people this year.
As someone that hires or will hire, do you like it when people put a photo of them? Like, would you like that?
I honestly don't mind.
Yeah.
I like more personal things. And so that's just my preference. And putting a face to a name also helps me to remember aspects of that person as well. So that's just kind of how I remember things. But personally, it's not going to impact if they are not qualified. Then doesn't matter how big your smile is. Well, because the things that I'm hiring for, they aren't people facing, but also it's more about the type of person they are, their work ethic and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't think I'm like that. I'm 99% sure I'm like that, but circle back when I am hiring people and we'll see.
For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of a card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today.
When Maya's hiring people, let's see if she judges them based on how they look. We're interested to see how that goes. Now, as we continue, so we're figuring out that, you know, there's all these different things along the journey of your career that can impact how much money you make. What about gender differences?
So the gender differences in the attractiveness premium, the relationship between attractiveness and earnings also varies by gender.
Surprise, surprise.
Are we surprised? No. So a study conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis found that while the beauty premium exists for both men and women, its impact is significantly stronger for women.
What?
Yeah. So, however, women also face a plainness penalty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A plainness penalty. So where less attractive women earn substantially less than their average looking counterparts, a trend less pronounced among men. What do we think?
I am the most plain dressing person in the world. So this stresses me out. Like, see me in anything but a black shirt and jeans on a weekend and a black shirt and black pants on a workday.
I think that doesn't really matter as much. I will say it depends on your work environment. So yes, if you are going in for like a fashion styling job, I can see how that would be like, really like a black top and a black pant, like black pants, is that it? But I think that's a little bit more subjective to the industry.
Okay. I get what you mean. I was reading a book by Barbara Cochran, which has a really interesting title. But one of the things that she said is, so she's like a famous billionaire real estate agent. She's one of the sharks on Shark Tank, like the old woman with short hair, like in her 70s or like late 60s. And what she said is like when she was starting out, she was really poor and she got her first job. Her rent was $300 a month in New York, which, by the way, that's amazing at the time. And she saw this coat for $350. And she was like, this is my first paycheck. but I am going to buy the coat. And she was like, I realized that that was a bad decision, but it was the most like beautiful, thick, sophisticated, obviously like nicest looking coat in the world. And she said she wore it every day. And every day when she went to do deals for real estate, people did take her a lot more seriously. Because people were like, oh, she's got a coat that's like worth what some people usually pay for rent. Like she must be selling a lot of real estate.
Yes. I would say that's like dressing the part.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, long story short, it made me realize that yes, I like don't like being judged for like what I wear and how I look. And I like hate this like beauty premium. But in certain roles and industries, it does definitely play an impact. What I wanted to ask, and maybe something that we could both answer, is how do we fix this? Like, how do we make this less of an issue? Because not everyone is born with a symmetrical face. I mean, I don't have a symmetrical face. Not everyone's born with clear skin. I definitely don't have clear skin. Not everyone's born with a pleasant smile or health and vitality traits. Like, it's just some things you can do. Like, you can brush your hair and you can have a shower and you can, you know, do things that make you a pleasant person to be around at work. But how do we deal with this, Maya? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is this actually reminds me of a TikTok video that I saw. And it's this American comedian. She is very pretty. I think she's beautiful. But she was just like, just a PSA for all of the young girls. Be funny over being pretty because you can always buy pretty.
Oh.
She's like, my teeth, got them done. My skin, you can fix that. Makeup, hair, like you can fix all of the kind of, not that there is anything that you need to fix. I just want to preface that. But being more knowledgeable on your craft and educating yourself and knowing your stuff is more, in her opinion, and in my opinion as well, is more beneficial for you because you can, exactly, you can buy a pretty coat, you can style your hair in a way that is, you know, on trend and can be perceived as more attractive and things like that. So I think there are definitely ways in which you can improve your appearance if you find, like in real estate, I think that's a really good example, is because that's very, if you see someone with an expensive coat, then I'm like, oh yeah, they do a lot of this stuff if I have a high-end property that I want to sell, you know, just kind of dressing the part. I get that, and especially in different career paths, but overall, this whole pretty privileged thing, I'm not for it. And I guess as an Indigenous woman, I'm not conventionally beautiful. You know, so it's like, not that I'm like, oh, this isn't cool because it doesn't necessarily benefit me, but it's just that kind of, let's prop people up for their skills and all of that kind of stuff, what they're good for.
I completely agree. I mean, on one hand, from the perspective of like the company or the hiring process, like, you know, some ideas that have come up on how to reduce the barrier between like different incomes that people make just based off how they look is like having standardized interview processes, having blind recruitment methods, continually training people for unconscious biases.
That's a good one.
You know, with your hiring managers or HR professionals, because we want to create equity in the workplace, have inclusion. And that's like what companies can do to reduce this. From an individual level, I completely agree with you, like 110%. If you want to be someone that's like, look, I will dress how I dress and I do not want to, I don't want anyone to judge me on that. I don't want to participate in like, you know, Eurocentric beauty standards. That is not me. That is not my values. That is totally fine. And I vibe that. And I think I am definitely that person as well. However, sometimes attractiveness isn't in how you look, but it's in your personality and your behavior.
Yeah, for sure.
I love you saying like being funnier is sometimes much better than trying to be pretty, because
you can't buy funny. You can't buy your skills in your career, you know?
Like I can't change my, well, I can, I'm not going to change my face, but like I can definitely be more fun to work around. I can definitely be more pleasant. I can be more helpful. You know, I can always be like trying to upskill and be smarter and be like a really hard worker. And there's all these other things that just make me, you know, that saying, like if someone's good on the inside, they start to look more beautiful.
Yes, 100%.
So there's some like Roald Dahl saying, but like the more good you are, the more it like kind of shows on the outside, and the more of like a bad person you are on the inside, the more kind of like ugly
that'll shine through as well.
It'll shine through as well. So in that way, you can change your personality. I'm kidding. In that way, you can like change certain things about you that still make you more attractive and still let you use the beauty premium, because that's not going anywhere. But like companies can help reduce that gap through, you know, systemizing processes. And us individuals can reduce that gap by saying, hey, well, maybe not from a physical point of view, but from a work point of view, are there things I can do that just make people go, oh, Sim, like she's such a lovely person. She's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I think instead of specifically changing aspects of yourself, it's more so utilizing your qualities, what make you unique as a person, and really highlighting that and portraying that in a way that no other person can do, really.
Because there is definitely beauty in just being your unique self.
Oh, 100%.
Well, Maya, I think that is a beautiful, beautiful place to wrap up this episode. We talked about attractiveness in workplace performance, what's considered attractive, the beauty premium and the impact it has on things like the hiring process and even the gender differences when it comes to the attractiveness premium. I hope you have been able to take something away from this that helps you in your long-term growth of wealth creation. If you have found anything interesting, please, all we ask, take a screenshot, put it on your Instagram story, tag us. It helps us spread the podcast to as many people as possible and helps in their journey to creating wealth, because at the end of the day, that's all we want. That's all we're here for. And I will see you next week, Maya.
Ka kite pisum. Bye.
And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.